Turn again to John chapter 15. This time we read the section of the chapter again. Read once again the first 17 verses of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. As far as we read in God's holy inspired word, we look at verses 14 and 15 tonight. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus had been speaking to his disciples, beloved, about their requirement to obey, the requirement to live a life of good works. We can't miss that in this section of Scripture. Begin to encounter that idea already in verse 2, where Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, speaking of good works, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Obviously, he's saying the purpose of God with his people and with his church is that they bear fruit, that they perform good works. Then also, verses 4 and 5, as Jesus gets to the heart of his point in these opening verses, speaking of that calling to abide in him, He also tells us why we must abide in Him. What's the purpose and goal, again, of our abiding in Him? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. Again, the emphasis, abide in me so that you can bear fruit, so that you can perform good works and serve me. It comes out throughout the rest of the section as well. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Pointing out the importance of keeping the commandments of God, and that is the way in which to know and enjoy and be assured of the love of Christ for His people. And again, verse 12, this is my commandment, speaks of our obligation, the requirement to love one another, live in that way serving Him. This is my commandment. Again, even our text, verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He emphasizes that throughout this section, our calling, our requirement to obey, to live a life serving Him. But so that His disciples are not left with the wrong impression, and so that we are not left with the wrong impression, so that His disciples and we ourselves are not left with the impression that we are nothing more than mere slaves of Christ, and that's the only sense in which we stand in relation to Him. We are simply servants. We simply have obligations. That's it. So that we're not left with that impression, Jesus also adds the words of verse 15 of our text. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. I have called you friends. He adds that for us as well, so that we can understand in what relation we stand to Him, and so that we can understand what name, how He really refers to us. We need to know that as well, especially as this morning we have come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and again been assured and comforted of the love of Christ for us, been assured and comforted of our salvation through Him, our being rescued from hell and brought unto Himself through His own sacrifice, through His laying down His life for us. Having heard that, having been reminded of that again in the Word and Sacrament, we are thankful. Thankful for His great love, according to which He laid down His life for us. And gratefully, we're ready to live unto Him. As God works in our hearts by His Spirit, we are thankful and ready now, thankfully, to live unto Him. Then we need to know, too, that we must live unto Him as with Him. We live unto Him not merely as servants, but we live unto Him as His friends. For really, that is what we are. We are His friends. And so He refers to us, and so He calls us friends in our text. That text we consider tonight, so it leads us in a thankful life, but also spells out to us in what way we ought to live, in what relationship with our Savior we ought to live that thankful life. We consider the text under the theme, called friends by Jesus. Called friends by Jesus. First of all, we notice a better name, a better name. And we consider a superior relationship, and then thirdly, a high calling. Verse 15 of our text begins with the word henceforth. Henceforth, I call you not servants. The word literally means no longer. Jesus says here then, no longer do I call you servants, but now I call you friends. He says you were called servants, literally slaves. You were called that, but no longer now. Now I call you friends. What he means, beloved, is this. He calls us friends, and he called his disciples friends even at that moment in light of the New Testament. Light of the New Testament. The New Testament, of course, had not dawned yet. The New Testament did not begin with the birth of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have that misconception in our minds. The New Testament does not begin with the birth of Jesus Christ. The New Testament, in all of the fulfillment of those promises of the New Testament, began at Pentecost, began the day when the Lord poured out His Spirit upon His church. And that had not yet occurred at the time of Jesus speaking these words to His disciples. So He means to say, I'm calling you friends, but that in light of that new relationship that we have, as you will be members and citizens of my church in the New Testament. In the New Testament, then, God's people have a new name. A new name, now called friends. Jesus had spoken of the change from Old Testament to New Testament before, and we had considered that not so long ago in chapter 14. Jesus spoke of that change from Old Testament to New Testament. We remarked too at that time, it's one of the more beautiful and deep expressions of that change that occurred in His people. John chapter 14, verse 17. There Jesus speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit, which would indicate upon its first initiation, the beginning of the New Testament. He says that the Spirit is called there the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, meaning now, as Old Testament saints, He dwells with you, and shall be, that is, in the New Testament, the Spirit shall be in you. We noticed when we considered that verse 2, we have to understand that carefully. Jesus does not mean that the Spirit did not in any sense live in His people in the Old Testament. Certainly the Spirit was in His people in the Old Testament. But He says the Spirit was in His people as if not really yet fully in them. He was in them, but really the better way to express it is that He was with them. Now, in the New Testament, the Spirit would more fully and intimately enter into His people and live in them and operate mightily in them. Jesus does not mean then to be taken in the absolute sense of the word. The Spirit was not in His people at all. But He means to speak in a certain way for the point of emphasis. In similar fashion, He speaks here as well. He does not mean that in the Old Testament, His people were not friends at all. That His people were not friends in any sense of the word. The Old Testament people of God were the friends of God. That was not so much on the foreground. That was not the greatest emphasis of their relationship to God. But they were His friends. The Scripture is plain about that. We read in the New Testament, in that familiar passage in James 2, verse 23, we read about that Old Testament patriarch, Abraham. And we read that he was the friend of God. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Old Testament man called the friend of God. And the same thing was said of Moses. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. A special privilege that God gave to Moses to speak unto him face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Meaning, Moses was really a friend of God. Jesus does not mean then that the Old Testament saints were not friends of God. Nor does he mean, now that I call you friends in the New Testament and draw out that part of our relationship, bring that to the foreground, now that I call you friends, you are released from all service. That as New Testament saints, we ought to say about ourselves, we are the friends of Christ, and we are no longer in any sense servants. That's not Jesus' meaning either. Scripture says otherwise in that regard as well. In many different passages, really we need look no further than the next couple of verses. Jesus, after saying, I don't call you servants anymore, but I call you friends, goes on just a few verses later, verse 20, to say this, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, the Lord, they will also persecute you, my servants, the servants of the Lord. He does not simply then eradicate that idea of our being servants. We are still, as New Testament saints, the servants of God. But what the Lord means in expressing himself thus, henceforth I call you not servants, but I call you friends. What he means is now there will be a change in emphasis in regard to the position in which we stand in relation to God, now brought more to the forefront of that relationship is that idea of friend. The idea of servant is not on the forefront anymore, but now the idea of friend is on the foreground. So much so, Jesus says, so much so is that true that friendship stands in the foreground. So much is that true that I will simply call you friends. That's the fitting name for you as you stand before me as New Testament saints. We can, if it helps, think of it this way. In the Old Testament, we can describe the people of God in the Old Testament as servant friends of God. And in the New Testament, we switch those two words around and we can view ourselves as New Testament saints as friend servants of God. Friend servants of God. To be a servant of God, to be given that name, to be called a servant of God is a good name. But to be called a friend of God, a friend of Christ, is to be given a better name. And if we may add now too, stepping back and looking at the whole revelation of the Word of God and how this text fits into the whole revelation of the Word of God with regard to the names that God gives to us and with regard to the way in which He speaks about us, we could even add best name. For us is the name sons and daughters of God. And that we would say the best name from a number of different points of view, but partly also because of this, it includes the idea of servant. A son is not one who can do whatever he wants in relationship to his father. A son is one who must obey his father, must serve his father, must do what father says. He's a servant to father. But a son is also a friend of his father. If his father is a good father, he'll be a friend to his father. So friend, servant, really means son of God. But Jesus' point is not here to bring out sonship so much as it is to bring out friendship. He wants that to be on the foreground, that to be the focus of what we meditate upon. The essence of the covenant he brings here to the foreground. The essence of the covenant. Our catechism students remember, I hope, we'll continue to review that over and over again until we do remember and can say it automatically and instantly. The essence of the covenant is friendship. Sometimes we spell it out more thoroughly. Essence of the covenant is a family relationship of friendship and fellowship with God. But at the heart of that definition of the essence of the covenant is the idea of friendship. Christ then speaks here in covenantal terms. He speaks here as mediator of the covenant. He speaks here of the heart of the covenant and says, "You are my friends." Your new covenant name is friends. On the basis of this great act of friendship that he shows toward us is this relationship of friendship, this new name, friend, given to us. A great act of friendship that we considered this morning and is brought out by verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The basis of that tremendous act of friendship, Christ's act, loving act of friendship toward his people, on that basis and by the power of that sacrifice, we have become his friends, and we are now called his friends. But then also, through, on the basis of the sacrifice on the cross, but then also through the ascension, through the resurrection and the ascension, and through Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, we're given that name, placed in that standing as the friends of Jesus Christ. Pentecost, when Christ himself comes back to us as our friend, to live in us by his Spirit as our friend. To speak to us, to reveal mysteries of truth to us as our friend. That's what he means in the rest of verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." It draws a contrast between what it really means to be a servant and what it means to be a friend, and he puts his finger upon the one thing that distinguishes those two situations, those two standings, positions. On the one hand, a servant is one who doesn't know much about his Lord. He's not explained, has not a lot of things explained to him. He's not told much in the way of disclosing of himself by the Lord to the servant. The servant is simply told what to do. The Lord is not obligated to sit down and explain to the servant why he ought to do this and how it's a good thing that he ought to do this or anything else. He simply says, go do this or that task. I am the master. You are the servant. Go and do what I said. That's a servant. Especially was that clear to the Lord's disciples when Jesus first spoke this word, as they lived in that historical context where servanthood and master was very familiar to them. We've lost much of that today. So often employers are required to be nice. And if they're not, then the employees often feel they're justified in striking out against their employer or rebelling against their employer, at least not being very ready to give him good service. He has to be nice. He has to be a likable guy. And if he's a likable man, then his employees will want to follow him and they'll want to do what he says. It may be the way it is today, but that's not the way it was in Jesus' day. When one was a servant, often a slave, owned by the master, he didn't have very many rights at all. And he had the one great obligation, simply obey. No questions asked, simply obey. And the master had no requirements to explain much to his servant. Jesus says, I have called you friends. A friend is different than a servant. I treat you differently than I would if you were merely, only a servant. Or even if your being a servant was on the foreground of your position before me. But now that you are friends, and I put that position on the foreground before in your standing before me, then I will explain things to you. I will sit down and talk to you. I'll help you to know. I'll help you to understand. Not to say that you no longer have to serve me, but I'm going to explain things more thoroughly so that from within, willingly, you want to serve me. You delight to serve me because you know me. You know who I am. You know what I've done. You know my great love for you. Jesus says, the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's what I do as your friend. I know the Father, and I know all the counsel and decree and will and plan and glory and grace and power of the Father, and I make that all known unto you. I lay that all out before you. I talk with you as a friend. So that then you can serve me joyfully and cheerfully. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to withhold things either. I'm not going to hold secrets. I'm not going to hold things back from you. A good friend doesn't do that. They say, well, I'm going to tell this person just a little bit. This is my friend, but I'm not going to tell them very much. I'm going to hold back some very important things from them. I'm only going to reveal them a little bit. That's not how a friend lives with a friend. That's not how Jesus lives towards us. Openly, he speaks. And he reveals to us the secrets of Jehovah and to us his people, as we read so beautifully rendered in Psalm 25, verse 14, that covenantal text again, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. How will he do that? How will our Lord Jesus Christ, as our friend, treat us as his friends? Do that in a real and living way, in a real and living relationship with us. That is, by His Spirit. He was speaking again of that which was to come, and from our viewpoint now, that which has happened on the day of Pentecost. As He has come back in His Spirit and reveals things to us by His Spirit. We look only briefly for a moment at Jesus repeating that and returning to that again in John 16, verses 13 through 15. We say, look at that briefly, because Lord willing, we'll come to that in our series and spend more time on it shortly. But Jesus says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself," that doesn't mean about Himself, as is often misunderstood. It means He will not speak out of Himself, as out of His own authority, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. All that belongs to the Triune God, all the knowledge that is in the Triune God, meant for His friends, God gives to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows that and brings that unto His people through the Spirit. That, in short, is what He's saying in those verses. What a far more superior relationship we stand in as His people than the saints in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ has revealed to us the truth of God through the Spirit, inspiring the Scriptures. Think of that tremendous act of friendship. That way in which the Lord Jesus says, "I am your friend." He's given us this whole book. Each of us has a copy, perhaps several copies, of His own Word, which He has meticulously and carefully written down for our understanding, so that we can know, so that He can reveal to us truth, reveal how He is our friend. But then also look at that glorious gift of the preaching that He's given to His church. From an earthly point of view, foolishness, weak means, but as used by the Spirit of Christ, powerful, mighty means of grace, the greatest means of grace, a means whereby the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to us His friendship towards us. Understand that. Think of the preaching that way. Jesus comes to us and talks to us as our friend. He opens the Word to us. He discloses His secrets, the secrets of the Triune God, unto us by His own voice, speaking through the humble means of preaching. And then too, as the Spirit works in our hearts, without that, the Scriptures would do us no good. The preaching would do us no good. But by the Spirit in our hearts, He works powerfully and illuminates our hearts and illuminates our minds so that we understand the Word of the Scriptures, the Word that is brought to us in His preaching. And then too, through prayer, as we come to Him and we talk to Him, and we pour out our heart before Him, and we make our request known unto Him, He answers us. He answers our prayers so often, isn't it true? He answers our prayers through the Word. As He speaks to us, teaches us, discloses to us His covenant secrets. Let's understand too, young people and children as well, that's what the truth is. We talk about the truth much in our churches. We talk about the body of truth. We talk about doctrine. We talk about the Reformed teachings. All of that are just other ways of saying the words of our friend. That's what doctrine is. We don't disparage the truth of God's Word. We don't speak lightly of the doctrine of God's Word. Say, that's just cold doctrine. That's just formulas of the church. That's just things that need to be memorized. It's not much of anything really to me. We look at it by faith and we say, the doctrine of the church, the truth of the Reformed faith as captured in the Reformed creeds, in particular the three forms of unity. It's my Savior teaching me, speaking to me as my friend. Then we listen to our friend as wise and grace-filled children of God. We listen to our friend. We approach the Scripture that way, listening not only for a voice of an almighty sovereign God lifted up above us as if He does not care, as if all He wants is strict obedience. That's not the way that we stand before God. That's not the relationship that He's put us in. Certainly He is a sovereign God. He is an almighty God. He must be obeyed. And He has every right to simply say to us, do this. But He's pleased to come to us and say, and I am your friend. Do this because it's good for you. Do this because it glorifies me. Do this because I love you. Do this because you love me. Do this with knowledge and understanding of the way things are, of the way the world is. Live apart from the world because you know what that is. I'm going to tell you all about it. Listen to the Word as the words of your friend. And here in the Word, then, the tone of love, the tone of concern, of tremendous, eternal care for us as He teaches us and instructs us in the truths of God's Word. Our relationship that we stand in, then, is also a very dependent relationship. We stand as dependent friends. We're not equal friends. We're not friends that both have something to bring to this friendship, both have something to contribute to this friendship, so that in some measure He's dependent on us, and in some measure we're dependent upon Him. That's not the kind of friendship that we have with our Lord Jesus. He is the mighty one. He is the sovereign one. He is the only source of strength for us. We stand entirely dependent upon Him as His friends. That's what He means when He says, abide in me. Abide in me as my friends. Abide in me as those who need me, as those who find their strength from me. Abide in me means learn from me. Let my words abide in you. Meditate upon my words. Write them in your hearts. And grow. Grow in your understanding. Abide in me in that sense to grow in your understanding so that you grow more and more in strength and in might to walk with me as my friends. Live with Him. Live with Him as your friend. Live with Him as your strength. Live with Him as your helper. Consciously. He's with us. He told us that. He's with us through His Word. Take that Word, not as in a little Bible that you tuck in the pocket of your shirt to keep it close to your heart. Take the Word of God, the real and living Word of God, and put it in your heart daily. Put it in your heart through the preaching weekly. Put it in your heart and in your mind, and go with that Word in your mind and in your heart, and in that way, live with Christ. Dependent upon His Word, deriving your strength and energy, guidance, direction, everything from Him. So that wherever you go, you say, I go there not alone. I never go anywhere alone. I always go in everywhere, every place in my life, in every circumstance of my life. I go with my friend, my mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessed covenant relationship. That Jesus would be our friend, and that He would call us friends, and that He would live with us as friends. As great a friend as He is, so great are His standards for His friends. He has high standards for His friends. We read that in verse 14. Jesus says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now that does not mean, we say at the outset, that does not mean that by our obedience we make ourselves to be His friends. That's not what He means. It does not mean either that we enter the status of friend by our obedience. We gain the position of friend by our obedience. That's not what Jesus means to say. That's not a high calling. That's not a high standard to a relationship. That's not a great high standard and calling in our relationship with Christ. That's an impossible calling. An impossible calling. By our obedience, we should gain to ourselves the status of friend. It's impossible. We're too weak. We're too sinful. We're too dead in trespasses and sins. By grace, He makes us His friends. By grace and grace alone, He appoints us to the status, to the position of His friends. He takes us unto Himself as friends. And then He lives out of that friendship, His friendship towards us. I heard of that this morning. The central way in which He does that is He lays down His life for His friends. But also, He reveals His secrets from the Father to His friends. That work is all His work and His work alone, based only upon God's sovereign and eternal good pleasure. All of that is apart from any of our works of obedience. But once we are made friends by the grace of God, once He has taken us to be His friends and He makes us to be friends, once He gives us that status, that position of friends, then we must act like His friends. Obedience does not make us His friends, but it characterizes us as His friends. It's that which marks us as friends. It's those features by which we're able to recognize one another and ourselves as His friends. He is a great friend, and therefore he has a great standard, a great calling. The same is true in earthly life between two human friends. One cannot simply say, well, I'll do whatever I want. I don't really care how that affects the other person whom I call my friend. Whatever I'm going to do, it doesn't matter. They ought to still be my friend. Everybody would know that does not work. Simply does not work. If I'm going to have a friend and I'm going to live with someone as a friend, then I must do my part in that friendship. I must live as a friend towards my friend. And that's the same thing that our Lord Jesus calls us to hear. Only remember, he doesn't say, bring to this friendship which you have in yourself, but he says, run to me, find everything that you need in me, so that you can live with me as my friends, abide in me, and then you will be able, then you'll walk as my friends. So here, he deals with us not as slaves, as mere servants, but as friends. He shows himself as our great friend, and then he expects that we will show him our friendship as well. Two things yet in this regard. Show him then, beloved, that you are his friend. That's our calling. That's our requirement. Show him that you are his friend. How? The way he says. Not by our own imaginings, not by listening to the apostatizing church with all of their ideas of how to be the friends of Jesus, but we show him his friends that our friendship in the way that he says. That's what he says in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I dictate the terms of this friendship. I tell you what to do. And then when you do that, you live as friends with me. Not simply servants, not slaves, but as friends. And listen to him when he reveals himself. When he reveals the truth from the Father unto you as your friend. Listen to him. Take his truth to heart. And then obey. Obey his commandments. Obey. The friendship we have with Jesus is again not a friendship between equals, but a friendship of authority within the structure of authority and submission. Yet nevertheless, close, intimate friendship. How do we obey especially? The answer is found in verse 12, which we consider for preparatory. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's how you love me. That's how you walk as my friends. Love one another. Be friends with one another. And in that way, you are friends with me. To what extent? Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who? For whom do we give all this in the obedience to our Lord and friend? To those assigned us by the Father. Not those whom we decide, not those whom we choose. All those whom God loves, all his people, all those whom he has assigned to us and said, here, these are your friends. These are those with whom you must live, and these are those whom you must love as my friend, as my friends. And then, beloved, you will know that you are his friend. You'll be assured of that. One cannot and will not have the assurance that he's the friend of Christ when he walks contrary to the commandments of Christ, contrary to the commandments of his friend. But we know we are his friend when we walk as friends and when we see those characteristics of the friends of Jesus Christ in us, in our life, and in our relationships with one another. Jesus speaks of that through the Apostle John, again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and following. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, know in the sense of love him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Again, 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Lord's Supper form incorporates that language also into it, as it speaks of that third part, as a part of thankfulness. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How? By keeping the commandments of our friend who discloses to us all the truth that we need to walk with him as his faithful covenant friends. May God so grant us that strength. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, who has told us that He calls us His friends. Marvelous truth and a marvelous relationship. In that relationship, through that dependent relationship we have with Him, give us the grace to keep His commandments and to walk as His friends in this world and with one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.